Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are a wonderful, lively group this morning. And whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few of the ways that you can learn about how we are church together is to take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone seated around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions. And we have a few announcements this morning. First, yesterday was a wonderful gathering of GPCers to serve at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality in this city. And 80 people were served yesterday, and we are very thankful for all those who made food donations, helped prepare the famous GPC goulash on Friday, and all the servers who came yesterday. So thank you very much. And a lot going on here today. First, following worship, confirmands, confirmation parents, confirmation sponsors. We're going to meet right here in the sanctuary, so please stay for that meeting. Jamaica travelers, if you are getting excited as I am for our trip in February, we will see you. We'll start out in Fellowship Hall at 12:30. And a few other announcements. We'll go, Cheryl.
How many women have ever asked yourself, I wish I just had a day for myself? You have an opportunity on November 1st, just 2 weeks away, for the women's retreat. Registration will be in the fellowship hall after service with Kathy Goodykoons, and it's just $20 at the lovely Notre Dame Retreat Center in Canandaigua. So we hope to see you there.
Today, youth group is having our haunted hayride. We'll be heading out to Spenceport to Verhulst Farms, so meet here at the church at 6 o'clock. Bring $12 if you've got them, and then we'll be back here around 8:30, and all youth are invited. Hope to see you there.
One last announcement that I'd like to call your attention to is on the white insert there, you will see more information about the Harvesting Justice Dinner. It's a rural and migrant ministry dinner, which is located at the Temple Beth Kodesh. And the mission committee has very generously sponsored a table for the dinner. Tickets are normally $50, and so we have an opportunity to send 8 people to this amazing event. If you are interested in attending, the first 8 people to see me after worship get to go. So let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Stand and join me in our call to worship. Enter mindfully into the presence of God.
And all the people tremble before the Holy One.
The glory of God surrounds us day by day.
Let the earth quake our Creator, who is gracious and merciful.
God is at work in us and in all people.
Let us proclaim God's justice.
May our minds be shaped by the mind of Christ.
And our service follow the path as Jesus taught.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Ever-present God, you promise to always be with us, and yet we struggle with the feeling that you aren't there. The structure of our faith stands, but we believe it to be uninhabited. We try to fill the void with distractions and come up empty. When we are in crisis, we expect you to be at our beck and call. Forgive us for forgetting to recognize your glory that lives in the everyday moments. Please take a moment for your silent prayers of confession. When we cry to God, looking for favor in God's sight, God answers, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." In the power of the Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven. We will rest in God's mercy.
And notes of celebration, I invite our youngest disciples, our children, forward at this time. Good morning. Come on over here with me today. Come on over here. So, how about right here? Good morning. Good morning, friends. Good morning. Good morning. Hello, good morning. So we find ourselves here at the baptismal font this morning because we have the opportunity to celebrate together God's love in the sacrament of baptism. So in these waters, if you'll remember, we've talked about this before, that God's love is promised to each and every one of us. And this morning, we are going to celebrate that God's love for little baby Jenny over there, who is not happy about her hat. So, tell Mom the water goes on the head. It's okay. It's okay. And one of my most favorite parts of a baptism is when everyone here in this community says yes to showing God's love to the child we baptize. So each and every one of you here together, this community promises to show God's love to all of us. And that just is such a great thing. So are we excited to celebrate this morning? Yeah, all right. So let's invite Genevieve Marie, daughter of James and Amy Termato, to the font. And Katie's going to join me. And Patty's going to join me. She's going to have to play hopscotch up to the pulpit. You could, there we go. There we go. Excellent. Well, Miss Jenny, it looks like Mom won. Friends, let us hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you to the close of the age.
Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident in his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Genevieve Marie, daughter of James and Amy Termato, to receive the sacrament of baptism. I promised I wouldn't cry. Sorry.
I tried, Patty. I thought if you were over there, it would help a little.
I didn't even look. Okay.
Amy and James, do you desire for Genevieve to be baptized? And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and teach that faith to your child?
Do you, the members of the Church of Gates Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Genevieve by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of this church? If so, please say we do.
We do.
Amy and James, in presenting Genevieve for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within the covenant, I ask you to reject sin, profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith into which we baptize. James and Amy, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend for Genevieve to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
Let us pray together. God, our parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament, for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. And as we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all those who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Good morning. And what is the name of your child?
Genevieve.
Good morning, Genevieve. All right. Do you want to check out the water first? Here you go. Yes.
nice and warm. Genevieve Marie, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This child of God is now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See what God has given us. Yes, lots of grace and love. Jenny, will you pray with me? Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you have called us by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your child, Genevieve. Watch over her. Guide her as she grows in faith. Give her understanding and a quick concern for her neighbors. Help her to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And we also pray for her parents. Help them to have patience and love and truth. Oh God, that they may raise her in faith, nurture and guide her well. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing together, Wonder of Wonders, which is in your green hymnal, as I introduce you to Jenny. All right, I'll bring her back. I kind of want to keep her, but I think I'll give her back to her parents because I know that we all will surround Jenny in prayer and nurture and love. And in a few years, she's going to be up here and running with you all to Sunday school. So, but for now, you all can head to Sunday school, okay?
Thank you. The first reading is from Psalm 99, a praise to God. The Lord is King, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord, our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord, our God, is holy.
The breakdown could have been avoided. But then again, a few breakdowns in community are inevitable. In this case, some folks made several poor decisions. Other people responded poorly to the poor decisions. More decisions, more responses, more trouble. Words were exchanged, positions hardened, sides drawn up. People were angry and hurt. Some people stopped talking to each other, and new alliances were formed. It seemed like life went on as normal, but something was missing. There was a hollowness, and the meltdown had taken on a life of its own. Friends questioned one another's commitments, and the grumbling and the weariness became highly contagious. Disagreements took strange turns, digging up old differences and hurts, and they played out into the present trouble in these unpredictable ways. In her book, Living into Community, Christian social ethicist and professor Christine Pohl writes about how breakdowns in community happen. And she wonders, as she wrote those words that I just shared with you, what kind of scenario were you imagining yourself in through those words? Was it a group from work or school? A club you've been a part of, or a sports team? Possibly a church? Maybe even extended family? But wherever you've experienced hurt and disappointment in community, we know it tends to linger in our collective memory. In fact, it is the number one reason people give for why they left a church and then stopped being part of any church community altogether. Some will find another faith community, and some will stick it out where they are determined to experience God's presence. Now, I'm not saying we haven't had our fair share of breakdowns and challenges here at GPC over the many years. One of the greatest parts about being a part of this community of faith is we believe God will keep showing up in the midst of this community. And that's all that the Israelite people were hoping for. I mean, it seems reasonable for the people God rescued from slavery in Egypt to just want to feel God's presence with them. After centuries of oppression and hard labor and enslavement, they went from being a community with no identity to being the people of God. Who they are together is dependent on experiencing God's presence. And they know this in their head. God has told them, their leaders have told them, but as we've also read, they keep chasing after one dysfunctional breakdown after another. It started pretty early in their wilderness wanderings after the exodus out of Egypt, hoarding the manna they were told to just take enough of. Last week, it was the golden calf debacle. The official meltdown came when they thought Moses and God weren't going to come down off that mountain after 40 days. A few abandonment issues might be at play here. When they literally melt down all of the family jewels and create a golden calf to dance around and declare God's presence in it. God was none too amused, leaving Moses in a pretty precarious situation. Unlike the people, Moses has had some pretty amazing experiences of God's presence. There was the burning bush, not to mention all those times up on the mountain. And when Moses is back with the people, he pitches a tent outside the camp and meets God there on a regular basis, face to face, as a person speaks with a friend, it says in verse 11. But the people, the community as a whole, don't feel like they're experiencing God's presence in the same way. And Moses, well, Moses is going to talk to God as a friend talks to another and see what he can do about this matter. Now, rather than just reading straight from the book of Exodus, we're going to listen. We're going to listen in as Moses himself speaks with God about just how important it is for the people to experience God's presence in community.
Look, God, you tell me, lead these people, but you don't let me know whom you're going to send with me. You tell me, I know you well, and you're special to me, but if I'm so special to you, God, how come you don't let me in on your plans? That way, I could continue to be special to you. Don't forget, these are your people and your responsibility.
My presence will go with you. I'll see the journey to the end.
Well, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, we can call this trip off right now. How else will it be known that you are with me and in this plan with me and your people? Are you traveling with us or not? How else will we know that we are special to you, and all the people of this earth?
All right. Just as you say, this also I will do, for I know you well, and you are special to me. I know you by name.
Please, let me see your glory.
I will make my goodness pass right in front of you. I'll call out the name God right before you. I'll treat well whomever I want to treat well, and I'll be kind to whomever I want to be kind. But you may not see my face. No one can see me and live. Look, here is a place right beside me. Put yourself on this rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take my hand away, and you'll see my back, but you won't see my face.
Let it be.
Thank you, Moses. This highly poetic and peculiar story from Exodus can be very difficult to follow, even with the two voices, though that makes a huge difference. Because a story is impossible to interpret in a literal way. The narrator writes in these anthropomorphisms to give God human characteristics. We acknowledge the writer recognizes that any description of God is inadequate. The story, of course, is not about a literal face hidden from view or a large hand coming to cover the mouth of a cave. And let's not forget about the divine backside. Our own Presbyterian ancestors in the 17th century wrote in the Westminster Confession of Faith that there is but one, only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, and most holy. Those words roll off our tongue and literally sing out in song, as we did in our opening hymn this morning. Because the Holy One is beyond our understanding, our imagination, no matter how far from human comprehension, though, that God is. Moses knows that without God's presence, the people are nothing. My presence goes with you, God assures Moses. But how do we know, Moses presses? We break down. People make bad decisions. We look for your presence with us. And sometimes we aren't happy with what and who you give us. The people went to the effort to make a golden calf, and you offered us your backside. And before folks start inserting inappropriate jokes, the Hebrew word here for backside is akorai, and the definition connotates not so much something spatial as temporal. What God is saying here is, you can see my afterword. You can see what it's like just after I've been there. It makes a little bit more sense, doesn't it? We know the feeling of having seen God's afterword. You get the goosebumps, the hair standing up on the back of your neck, the tingle, a shiver, a deep knowing that the Holy captured our attention just moments before. When the water drips off the head of a child, the smile on her face as she greeted her community. The afterword of God in our midst, perhaps. The world is full of afterwards of God's presence. Every day, I am constantly amazed by the way nature sings God's praises. Did you get a chance at all this week to see the annual reminder of the glorious colors of dying leaves or the rainbow on Wednesday? The reminders of time and eternity, and a creator who blesses us with such extravagant beauty. It's why we're drawn to the everyday beauty of a sunrise or the magnificent sunset, because they remind us of a reality larger than our own, of a world that was here before we were born and will be here long after we are gone. A reminder that the sun has been rising and gorgeously setting for millions of years. And that millions of people before us looked up in awe and wonder, just as we do. What Moses knows is that God's presence is about more than just the beauty of the world. How else, God, will we know that we are your people, your community, God? It's not just the beauty. We see you there too, but you promised us your presence in and amongst your people. The afterword of your presence in the midst of community can't be captured quite so easily in a photograph and posted on Instagram. To experience God's love with another person, with a community, deeply and passionately, is not quite as explainable and understandable by intellectual categories. To witness the appearance of a new life, to stand beside the bedside of a loved one as breathing stops and life ends. You know the mystery of the afterword of God. Moses risks in asking for God's presence. The risk for Moses is he asked God to journey with them, and he knows that the people aren't always going to catch on to this whole afterward effect of God in their midst. In his mind, he must be wondering, well, God, what if the people aren't satisfied with the view? What if they want to see more of you? And they create another golden calf. God, what if you keep going forward through the wilderness toward the promised land, and the people keep breaking down, wanting to cling to the way that they've always done things? God, what if the people aren't patient enough for an afterword? In case you don't have time this week to read the rest of the story through the Hebrew scriptures, I'll give you the short version. The people aren't satisfied. They break down over and over and over again, and they tend to act rather impulsively when things aren't going their way. And even if you don't have the time, I encourage you to find little bits of time here and there, over the next year, if need be, to keep reading the story. Because in the midst of the story of the Israelite people, we learn of their struggles to experience God's presence in the midst of their community, and how God continues to show up and be present with them. And like the Israelites, we also learn that we become people who move forward through the wilderness, through the uncertainty, by sometimes needing to look back. Moses and the Hebrew people did not stay in that one place at the base of Mount Sinai in the wilderness, waiting for another chance to experience God's presence. They kept on their journey, one step at a time, just as God is calling Gates Presbyterian Church forward on our journey, one step at a time. We are called to proclaim where we have experienced the afterwards of God's presence in community in our lives. And one of the ways that you might take time this week to do that is that as you've opened your stewardship letters, think about the afterwards. Think about how in this past year we've seen the people in this community, the people in and outside of this building, share with each other God's presence by loving our neighbors and feeding those who are hungry, building homes for those who don't have housing, visiting those who are sick and in prison, practicing peace and justice throughout the world. The list goes on. Based on our experiences of sharing in God's presence through this community in the past, we also step out in faith to move forward on the journey God calls us to for our future. And we know that stewardship is about more than just money. It's about how we give ourselves, our time, our hearts. And it is humbling the ways that this community of faith dedicates their time and their selves to being a community of faith. We take those promises in baptism so seriously when we say we will guide and nurture, to pray for and teach all those who claim GPC as part of their community and those throughout the world. Because you believe that we share an experience of God's love through our relationships to each other, and we believe that God's presence meets us there, we keep showing up. GPC is a community of God's people because God's promise is as true as it was thousands of years ago with Moses and continues into our lives today. So again, I encourage you in this next week, in this next month, pay attention to those moments where something unexpected passes by, where you caught an afterword of God's presence. We are called on the journey together because we can't do it alone. We are called to help people see the goodness of God when it's passed by. For as God has been with our ancestors in ages past, so is God with us now. So friends, let us be thoughtful, sincere. Feel the goosebumps, the trembles, the deep gut feeling that God's presence is with us here together and is calling us on our journey forward. So here we go. Step by step, moment by moment, day by day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now we come into a time of sharing our joys with each other, as well as our fears and our sorrows. There are things that have happened and people we would like to pray for. We can share now.
Joanne Vander. I'd like prayers for our granddaughter who was in a car accident Tuesday, and we're praying that her eyesight is well. She had 50 stitches in her eye and 30 in her leg. And we also need prayers for a man in the car and the other car. Thank you.
Prayers for them.
I'd like to ask you all to pray for Janet Ellis. Janet is Katie Sapansky's mom and my grandchildren's grandma. She's in intensive care unit, strong. She's struggling through chemo. She's fighting for her life, and she's fighting to see Katie's babies. Mm. Thank you.
Prayers for her. Prayers for joy. It was just my two best friends' birthdays.
Prayers of joy. Thanks be to God. And we have prayers from our children this morning, not seeing any more hands going up. Prayers for a mom who's not feeling good. Prayers of joy for carving pumpkins and for almost finishing a book. Prayers for a lot of birthdays coming up and for fun sporting events. Prayers for a cousin that just got married. There are three different prayers of joy for the baptism this morning and welcoming baby Jenny into this community of faith. Prayers for a new baby cousin. Prayers for camping in 33 degree weather. Amen. Prayers for escaping a car accident safely, and also prayers for all those suffering with many different illnesses and all the fear that has been growing with the Ebola outbreak that even our children are very aware of. So prayers for all those.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come before you knowing that you are all around us, that your presence goes before us and prepares a way for us to live and love together. But God, sometimes things are hard in our lives. We need reminders of your grace and your love. So God, we ask that you open our eyes and our hearts. Show us your afterwards, the places where you have touched our lives. You have brought wonderful people into them. We have shown us ways to build family and build community, to care for each other. We ask that you give your strength and shine your light upon those who are ill, those who are hurt and recovering, that you give strength to the families where they're caring for their loved ones. Give them the grace they need. We ask that you give peace to the family of Dorothea Rickner, as they grieve and mourn together. We ask all of these things, knowing that you are always before us, that your light guides us, and that your love shines throughout our lives and your creation. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now let us, with joy and thanksgiving, celebrate the abundance of God as we receive this morning's offering.
Dear God, please accept these gifts from our community. We give you praise and join the voices of Moses and Aaron and Solomon in thanking you for being present in our lives always, even when we don't always see you. Amen.
A God who goes before us, hoping, longing for together to catch a glimpse of those afterwards. But be assured, God's promise of love is for us all, along with the grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.